Welcome back.
Yes, hello. Welcome to part two.
Dark Side Adventures. Today, not a BDSM podcast.
Part two. We're going to get a little bit more down and dirty, I guess, this episode. A little less about anatomy, a little bit more about sexy time.
Yes, let's hear it, Lucy. Oh, wait, Lucy, do you want to start with your good
fact of the week? So my good fact of the week is that I was able to go to the dungeon.
Yay!
And it's been a while, so I got to do a good in-bat scene with McManahan, my dominant, and it was much needed, and Coco saw the aftermath, and so sitting has been a lot of fun.
yes. Look, I've been playing in our recording studio, and like you can, there's cheering. Ready?
Yes. Thank you. Yes, thank you. It's been wonderful.
Good job, Lucy. Good job, Lucy.
All right. And Coco, tell us your happy fact, fun facts. Good thing of the week.
Yes. Good thing of the week. Fun fact of the week. I, as you guys are aware, if you listen to our Welcome Back, We're Back episode, I am part of an education group out here called Pre-Kink Academy, and I am helping put together our first Taste of Kink. For those of you who don't know what a Taste of Kink is, it's also called a Kink Carnival, which still hate that. Tops are not a carnival ride to hop on and off, but it's like a little charcuterie board of kinks. I have 7 or 8 people currently who have agreed to act as demo tops to all of our new students and people who are new to the lifestyle to try some of these kinks. We've got Fireplay, Staples, Impact, and a couple people doing Impact, Electroplay, Rope. We've got a big cuddle puddle going on to help with aftercare. And I'm really excited. It's starting to come together. I'm the one that's taking the lead on finding all of our demo tops. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun, and like Taste of Kinks and smorgasbords and things like that are so much fun, and they're such a good introduction to new people.
Yes. Or even just new kinks to old people.
Exactly. Like, something you may have never even thought that you would enjoy, and then you see it be done, or you try a little bit of it, and it's like, new kink unlocks.
The last Taste of Kink I went to, there was somebody who was doing, showing you play with body bags. And that was something new to me. I had done like mummification before. I'd seen vacuum bags, but I had never seen people play with body bags. And I thought that was super fun to see.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Super cool to experience too.
Oh, I believe that.
I decided I like it.
See, just another way. You learn something new.
Exactly. Always trying out new kinks.
Yes. So one other thing before we kind of launch a little bit more into part two, I did want to mention, we had talked about vaccinations previously, and we failed to mention one of the newer preventative measures. I don't know if it's necessarily considered a vaccination, but the PrEP for HIV.
Oh, yeah, we did forget that.
Yeah, and so it's a pill, and you can actually get it online fairly easily with or without insurance. Nice. I can post a couple of links. I think one of the misconceptions with PrEP is it's primarily for AMAB who consider themselves sexually active with others who are AMAB. or what, as we said previously, is more known as gay sex. This is not the case. HIV is still a risk to those in the heterosexual and other queer communities.
HIV is not exclusively an MAB infection.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a risk to everyone. Even if you're not necessarily superly sexually active, it could be something that is good for those that may have a problem, an addiction to intravenous drugs, because that is another way that HIV can be transferred. And so if maybe you have, some addictions that do involve intravenous drugs, this might be a good thing to look into, as well as if you're sexually active. So I wanted to bring that up because I thought it was important. And there is a lot of misconception, I feel like, that it is primarily for MAB humans in a MAAB relationship. So
yes.
That being said, we're going to move on to AFAB and sex for a moment. One of the things that I did want to talk about is the idea of squirting or the AFAB orgasm. There's a lot of things floating online about what that actually is and things like that. And I did some research on WebMD, and we will go ahead and post that link, of course. The female orgasm is, or I'm sorry, the AFAB orgasm is secretion from the Skene's glands, and there is a little bit of urine mixed in with that. Ejaculation is primarily a bladder release. Even though it's been proven that it exists, there's still not a lot of research on it and what everything actually is and mixtures and stuff like that. The biggest thing is that the Skene glands are known as the female prostate. And that's near the G-spot. And the thing is some AFAB have them and they have a lot of them. Some have very few of them. Some don't have any. And so squirting is not going to happen for everyone.
And a female orgasm or an AFAB orgasm might feel different to everybody. Mm-hmm. Some of them will have the big O that you hear about that leaves you shaking and you read in books and see on TV all the time. And some of them are just going to have, oh, that was good. Mm-hmm. And there's every mixture in between.
Yes. And, the thing is in that same breath, if you are, a person that AFAB that does any kind of female ejaculation, it's not always a sheet soaking huge mess like is viewed in porn. It can be small streams, it can be little trickles. So first off, if your AFAB partner is what most people consider a squirter, do not shame them.
Woohoo!
Right?
You did something right. You get to see the visual satisfaction that you brought them to completion.
Yeah.
You gave them the good feels.
Right? And that should not be something that you shame your partner for. That should not be something that you feel shame for. It is a bodily reaction. Whether it be...
should be praised as a great one.
And celebrated and...
you hear all over media and you see it on social media and you hear people talking about it. Like, they always say, well, I don't know if my girl got off. Or how many people do you hear about saying, I had to fake an orgasm?
First off, never fake your orgasms.
Absolutely not. Like, it's not worth the effort.
No. And if they are not pleasing you, then... say something. Tell them what you like. Tell them what you enjoy. Tell them it feels good when you touch me here. There's no shame.
Or I really like that. Or just down a little. Or move their hand.
Yeah. It's that easy. And the thing is it's going to make any kind of sex that much better. And it's not bottoming from the top.
No.
It is expressing pleasure for something.
It's also not topping from the bottom.
That's what I meant. Did I say bottoming from the top?
Yes. Jesus. Do you know how long it took me to realize that?
It took me until you called me out on it.
It's I was like, wait, that sounds weird.
At least it sounded weird to you. I just kept going. So yes, it's not topping from the bottom. It is allowing both you and your top to have a more pleasurable experience.
Sex is about enjoying yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
With or without an orgasm, sex is about enjoying yourself. Exactly. If you are not enjoying yourself and getting the good kind of stimulation that you're enjoying, then what's the point? What's the point?
Yes. Agreed. So. Which actually leads us perfectly into, there are three main different kinds of sex. There is anal sex, which can be between a AFAB and AMAB. It can also be between an AMAB and an AMAB.
It's because assholes are the great equalizer. Everyone has one.
Exactly. And so it is suggested when it comes to anal sex that you use lubricant because the anus...
It is not self-lubricating.
Exactly. The anus is not self-lubricating.
Not at all.
And I can tell you from experience that a lubed condom is not going to be enough lubricant.
Not at all. Not at all, not at all, not at all. If you think you have enough lube, add some more.
Exactly. You also have to be very careful with anal sex because it can lead to tearing and things of that nature. If the object being inserted in the anus is larger than the anus can handle, it can cause tearing, rectal bleeding, not fun things.
And on that note, really quick, I know we talked about it in the episode last time that yes, the human anus can stretch really wide. However, what Lucy is talking about, most dicks or most dildos, if you're pegging, aren't as wide as, let's see, hang on, let me fact check myself. What did we say the human anus can stretch to?
You said something about the size of a raccoon.
Yes.
Which said was not correct, I believe.
No, it is correct. I picked the wrong numbers. On the last episode, we talked about how a human anus can stretch 7 inches before it causes permanent damage. However, what Lucy is currently talking about is, if you try to do too much too fast, you can also cause issues. You can also cause anal fissures, tearing, things like that. If you try it without enough lube, you can also do that. So start small, work yourself up, use some stretching motions. People like to use 2 fingers and scissor, 3 fingers and stretch them apart.
We'll talk about it a little later.
And that helps.
I did not mean to interrupt you. We'll talk about it a little later, but anal plugs are also another way to kind of start stretching. They are items that you insert into your anus and make sure that they have a big solid base.
You want a flared end.
Yes. So you can insert with lubricant and keep in for periods of a time. Start small, work your way up.
On all things, both time and size.
Yes.
Your ass is not the place to start big and go smaller.
Yes.
Go smaller and work up.
I will never forget one of the first times that my ex-husband and I were talking to friends of ours about anal sex. He told us, well, if you're going to try it, start slow like a turtle. So my ex-husband and I go home. We're drunk. Ooh. And we get some lube and we start going, and he puts a bunch of lube and he just goes, slow like a turtle, and thrusts. And I yelled in pain and then collapsed laughing because, as previously stated, we were drunk and he was not in there that long. And all I could think of was, slow like a turtle.
That is not how slow like a turtle is.
So now, thanks to RR, anytime I have anal sex, the first thought that always pops into my head is slow like a turtle.
You've ruined me, and now that's going to be my first thought.
Yep.
Oh.
If I had to hear it, you'd be too.
I feel like that needs to go on a shirt. Slow like a turtle.
Yes, it should.
Merch to come.
Yes.
Moving on, what are the other kinds of sex we've
seen? So, I also want to then talk about vaginal sex. Vaginal sex is penetration of the vagina by fingers, penis, toy, fucking, apparently not foreign fruits and vegetables, but, you know, local ones are fine.
Just your local ones. And that is why grocery stores have signs to let you know where they're from.
Exactly. Do not insert wine bottles or open-ended bottles into your vagina.
Yeah.
It will create a suction, and it can break.
Yes, broken glass in a vagina does not, or any bodily cavity does not sound great.
If you insist on inserting a bottle of wine into your vagina, make sure it is closed.
Yes.
Sugar is not good around the vagina. If you are using lubricants.
It's a yeast infection waiting to happen.
If you are using lubricants, if you are using anything, make sure that it is sugar free. There is also a third type of sex. It is oral sex. I feel like that's pretty self-explanatory. We've talked about it quite a bit.
But just in case that's your mouth on somebody else's genitals.
Yep.
Or their mouth on your genitals.
Yes. So mouth on genitals. Another thing I want to talk about when it does come to sex is that toys are okay.
Yay! Toys are fun.
There is nothing wrong with using toys in your sexual encounters, whether it be a quote-unquote vanilla encounter, or it be a kink encounter. There's nothing wrong with it. It does not make you bad at sex. It does not make you...
Doesn't make you inadequate.
No. What it can really do is make things more enjoyable for yourself and your partner.
Yes.
There are so many different types of toys out there that you really just need to find what's going to work for you. There are toys that are specifically designed to stimulate the clit. These can be anything from little bullets to sucker toys that will simulate someone sucking on and licking the clitoris. These can be coupled with things that are inserted in the vagina that can vibrate, stimulate, pulse, things like that.
Roll in circles, thrust, like, all sorts of things.
There's also wands that can be used for clitoral stimulation.
And other stimulation.
Yeah, another simulation. There's also plugs, as we kind of talked about before, anal plugs.
And vaginal plugs,
and vaginal plugs.
Again, on all anal toys, you want to make sure there's a flared base, because once your anal sphincter closes around that toy, it creates a suction and it will suck it up. And if it is not caught by that flared base, or in the case of anal beads, a really long string,
it will end up inside you.
Yes, completely inside of you. And it will take a lot of effort to get out. And occasionally I've even seen it happen where you have to go into an ER.
I also want to caution on, if you are new with anal plugs, what I have kind of learned in my research and speaking with others, the silicone with the flared base
or a rocker base
tends to be a little bit easier for beginners. They're a little bit softer, a little bit more forgiving. They also tend to stay a lot cleaner and are easier to clean and can be more hygienic.
On that note, other options of materials a lot of times are metal. There are glass ones. You want to make sure that the glass ones are not hollow.
Once again, suction cup bursting.
Yep. Not fun. Light bulbs, bad idea.
Yep.
So I think those are the main materials, silicone, glass, and metal. Mm-hmm. If you're using silicone toys, you want to make sure you have a water-based lubricant so you mm-hmm. don't degrade your silicone.
Invest in a toy cleaner. It's yes. wonderful. And if you use a Diva cup, it doubles as a Diva cup cleaner.
Yes. Diva cup is a brand of menstrual cup
yes.
cleaner. Or a brand of menstrual yeah. cup.
Also, you know, toys for those that have a penis, there are cock rings, which can constrict around either the base of the cock or the balls. That can
or both.
It will make the penis usually harder and also delay orgasm a little bit for some.
Yes. It keeps the blood in the cock a little mm-hmm. bit longer. It can also, you can get some that do vibrate and some that don't.
Mm-hmm. There are also sounding thin rods, for lack of a better term. I'm trying to think of a better way to phrase it.
They're called rods.
Yeah, thin rods.
They're sounding rods. So they're thin rods that you insert with a lot of lube into the urethra. You can do it on both AFAB and AMAB. Mm-hmm. It slides into the urethra. If we're talking about sliding, a lot of times you hear sounding in regards to a penis. Mm-hmm. So the sound slides into the urethra of the penis, slides all the way down. You can stimulate the prostate through your penis with a sound. You can also, you have to be careful because it can also insert into the bladder. Mm-hmm. Because like Lucy talked about, it's the same hole.
Yeah. There are also sex dolls that can be used by both genders or by both sexes. There's
masturbation sleeves.
Yeah.
They're also, again, you can get those that vibrate or cause a sucking sensation, mm-hmm. or you can get non-motorized ones that you mm-hmm. just use. You can also, there's attachments for the wand that you can put on the top of the Hitachi wand or other brand wands that you can use as a masturbation sleeve, and it will cause that vibration.
Mm-hmm. There are also long distance toys. If you have a long distance partner, things that can connect to Bluetooth yes. that are for both sexes, both AFAB and AMAB, that you can use from a distance that connect to the Bluetooth that will stimulate different sensations based on what you're using.
Yes.
So that's definitely a thing. And I'm going to leave toys there because really there are so many that we could almost do an entire episode on different kind of toys. But
exactly. you really if you guys want us to, let us know.
Yeah, for sure. But you need to find what's going to work for you and your partner. So
exactly. Because again, not everything works the same for every person.
Yes.
For example, I bought a sucky toy because everybody that I was talking to was like, oh, I love them. They're fantastic. Mm-hmm. You should try it.
Oh my God, I love mine.
Meh.
Yeah.
Mine does not a whole lot to me. See? Different yeah. things, different exactly. toys.
When it comes to sex, something that I know a lot of us are exposed to, even at a young age, is pornography.
Yes.
There is a very interesting, it started as a podcast and then they combined it all in together to make it kind of a book called The Butterfly Effect. And they talk a lot about how the development of Pornhub affected the way that the world sees sex and how Pornhub actually led to, and I will post the link of this because it's really, really interesting, but how the creation of Pornhub actually also led to a higher rate of people on the sex offender list. And some of this was like young, like 11, 12, 13 year old children. And some of it was because they were exposed to a pornography and saw this guy was mean to this girl and pushed her and kissed him. And then he pulled down her pants and she was happy.
Or it continued even if that other person was saying no. Mm-hmm. Or because you do see that in pornography. Mm-hmm. And as a child, that's not something you're able to differentiate because your brain is still developing.
Yes. But that leads into even sometimes those of us as grownups, you know, I don't want to call us as adults, but adults, I guess. Porn is not always a really realistic portrayal of how sex actually is. It's not realistic portrayal of how BDSM is. It is not a realistic portrayal of how your stepdaughter wants to hang out with you. And I think that we can't talk about sex without talking about consent and the way that I feel like porn can kind of influence our ideas of consent.
Absolutely.
As we kind of said, in pornography, a lot of the times it is kind of a consensual, non-consensual thing, but it's not always presented that way.
Yes, that's one thing that's really hard. And I know kink.com, when you watch their actual, like the whole videos, they're really good at showing it, but not everybody will pay to subscribe to kink.com, so it's a little bit of a struggle for those who don't pay to see this. But kink.com is really good at showing the before negotiations,
and then they show an after as well,
as a check-in and a debrief after. So they say, okay, what are we consenting to this time? What are we doing? You don't like this? Great, we'll avoid this. What is your safe word? What's your stop? If you're gagged and you can't speak, what are we doing then? They go through all of that negotiation and they put it on camera, which is really helpful to show it in a realistic light of, yeah, they're these porn stars who a lot of people see a porn star and just think, oh, they'll do whatever for sex to be paid.
No.
But that's not the case. They still have their boundaries. They still have their limits. And kink.com does a really good job of showing that.
I agree.
And displaying that.
I agree.
Whereas not all videos do that.
That leads into consent is important. Checking in and continuing to verify that things are okay. Whether it be kinky sex or vanilla sex, you know, you're having sex with your partner and they flinch or they make a face. Hey, everything okay? Are we still good?
Sometimes it could be just as simple as, yeah, you hit me in a weird spot and it made me have to fart. Yeah. So I'm trying not to fart.
Exactly.
Right? It could be as simple as that. Or it could be like, oh no, that really fucking hurt. Like, let's not do that again. Pause
for a second. You know, like, no always means no. Maybe doesn't mean yes. And yes doesn't necessarily always mean yes. Make sure that you're checking in. You know, there's a lot of times where I know that I myself have been kind of almost guilted into sex. And I've been, you know, guilted into this. Well, I did this and I wanted to do this and this and this and this. And so finally I just give in and say yes, because I want them to shut up.
We have a whole episode we're going to do on consent, because that is, I know we've done it before, but it is one that we will probably do every season from here on out.
I agree.
Because it is that important.
I agree.
However, on that note, porn can also be really good. If you look at it as a theatrical thing, it can definitely enhance your sex life. It can. I know a lot of people who enjoy mutual masturbation to porn, or I know some people who see things on porn and go, okay, that's a good idea. Maybe not the way they did it, but how can I make this realistic? It is not always the enemy. Just like Lucy was saying, it can cause issues.
Yeah.
But it's not always the enemy.
It's not something that I'm at a place to be at, but it is definitely something that I know people enjoy doing that together. And I know that that's something that someone's kink, and good for you. Get it, man. But
that kink is not your kink, and that's okay. Yeah.
So this kink is not my kink, and that's okay, leads me to BDSM and sex. I'm going to very briefly talk about this, because this, again, is probably going to be a whole other episode. But because we are talking about sex, I want to say that BDSM and sex are not always one and the same.
Absolutely not.
You know, sometimes my dominant and I will play and there'll be some spanking involved and that gets me going. But when we were there, when we were at the dungeon last week, there was a point where he reached up to try and kind of play with my clitoris a little bit and things like that. And I just went, I am not at all wet right now. This was not what I needed from this.
Yep.
And he immediately pulled his hand away and said, of course, covered me in the blanket and started giving me kisses. So it doesn't have to be necessary for good sex.
Correct.
I also want to point out, because I had another experience this weekend at a class that I was at, where we were talking about objectification. And for some mm-hmm. reason, the idea of BDSM and sex with dungeon came up. And this person who is a leader of one of the groups where I'm at mentioned that really, if you're going to be at the dungeon, you need to have some kind of BDSM in your sex to make everyone happy. Otherwise, you were just swingers bullshit. Because you were at the club having sex.
Bullshit.
That is bullshit.
No.
There is a huge difference between swingers and exhibitionism. And yes, mm-hmm. there can be some overlap. I am willing to admit
a lot of times there is.
But just because you and your partner want to have sex in front of people that could maybe walk in on you while you're in a corner or something like that, doesn't mean you want someone to come up to you and say, hey, your wife's hot, your husband's hot, your partner's hot, your whoever's hot. You want to switch? Those are two entirely different things. So do not ever think because you want to go to the dungeon and wander into the, you know, kind of quiet area and fuck and hope that somebody walks in on you.
Or even right in the middle of the fucking dungeon.
Right? I mean, in the middle of the dungeon, make sure that people are consenting because that's...
It depends on the space.
It depends Correct. On the space. That's fair.
Some places are very sex positive where sex can happen anywhere. Some places are sex positive in certain areas of their club for certain reasons. So, and some places, due to business licenses, cannot be a sex positive dungeon.
So I don't like the term sex positive.
Oh, you and I have talked about this and I forgot.
Yeah, because I feel like a sex positive implies that groups that are more about impact or something of that nature implies that they don't also approve of sex within
I agree
whatever's happening. The term that was used this weekend at the class that I was at was a dark group.
Oh yeah,
for a group that they allow sex at. So I would rather use that term because I feel like the term sex positive in this light is just not appropriate. Yeah,
I agree with that.
And like I said, that's just something that like I just recently discovered was
yeah.
a nitpick. And I was like, I want to try
and
change that.
You mentioned it the other day, and I really do like that.
Which yeah. that shame aspect leads me to kind of this final point, I think, in our Not Today a BDSM podcast. Vanilla sex. Honestly, vanilla is whatever it means to you. Mm-hmm. For some people, tying someone to the bed would be considered very, very vanilla. That's mm-hmm. their Tuesday night. But for other people, tying someone to the bed could be a huge, big step in their BDSM journey. And, Absolutely. You know, maybe that's all they ever want to do. But totally that's okay. their secret BDSM moment. That's totally fine. Don't let Absolutely. Anyone tell you that... You know, your vanilla sex is vanilla.
Or that your kinky sex is vanilla.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not a thing. And at the same class, we talked a little bit about, like I said, the class was about objectification. And he kind of said something.
I think you should point out that this was not the original teacher.
That's fair. The person that was originally supposed to teach is someone that McClanahan and I both know and someone that we both respect within the leather community.
They were not able to make it.
Yeah, they were not able to make it. They got sick at the last minute. So this was a last minute class, which I understand. But the whole class was just awkward. But we were talking about sex and how sex was happening at the dungeon and things like that. And another mention was made about having sex in the dungeon. And if you're not going to add some BDSM to it, then you might as well have just stayed home and had your vanilla sex.
No.
Once again.
I feel like being at the dungeon having sex in public is BDSM. That's a kink.
Yeah.
Having public sex.
Yeah. You know, I've been to events where they have been dark parties where there has been sex in front of people. Mm-hmm. I have watched an AFAB get oral sex while I was sitting watching Coco get beat right next to me.
When was that one?
That was at when you were playing with...
When we were at the convention?
Yeah, when we were at the convention.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I was obviously not paying attention.
I was
enjoying the impact.
Exactly. But yeah, it just was happening right there while I was sitting there. And it's like, okay, that is an exhibition thing. This is a scene exactly. that they wanted to perform in front of people. I've been to a swingers club. I have had sex in front of people at a swingers club. So once again, do not let anyone shame you into thinking that your sex is not BDSM enough. Kink is what you feel kink is. Do not let anyone else define it for you.
Kink doesn't have to be painful. Kink doesn't have to be sexual. Kink can be sexual. Kink can be painful. It can be sensual. It can be so many different things that there's no one correct way to do it.
No. And that's the beauty of kink.
Beauty of life.
There's no right way to do kink. Just like there is no right... Well, so there's no right way to do kink. I mean...
There's no one right way.
There we go. That's a better phrase.
There are multiple correct ways to do kink.
There is no one right way to do kink. Just like there's no one right way to do vanilla. Just like there's no one right way to do sex other than consensually.
Agreed. As long as you are all over the age of consent and are consenting before it happens, then there's not just one way to do it.
Yes. And so that being said, I think that's about the end of the episode.
Yes.
So we will, well, first off, happy Labor Day, y'all. Because that's the day that this is released.
I forgot. Happy Labor Day.
Hopefully you're listening to us out by the pool where it's not 110 degrees having a drink.
Yes.
Or a mocktail.
A drink is pretty, it could be an alcoholic drink. It could be a soda drink. It could be a water drink.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. Our next episode is ABCs of Kink.
Yes. I'm so excited for that one.
I am too. And that will be released on
2 weeks after Labor Day.
2 weeks after Labor Day, which is the 18th.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys learned as much from Lucy as I have this week.
If you have any further questions, comments, concerns, ideas, go ahead and reach out to us. Our Instagram is at ourdarksideadventures. Our email is ourdarksideadventures@gmail.com. We have a Twitter again, apparently, at darksideadventures.
I think it's dark S adventures.
Is it?
Yes, because it didn't give us enough numbers or characters.
God damn it. I was doing so good, too.
Sorry, I know that one's going to throw a kink in the bad kind of kink.
Yes. So come find us on things. I'm going to get better at social media. I have help now.
Yay! And
we will see you on Labor Day and ABCs of Kink. And then 2 weeks after that, I think we'll probably do our consent episode.
Absolutely. I would love to do consent.
So look forward to that, friends.
Yes.
Now take us out with that beat.
Yes. Do, 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 do. Oh, the other beat. Sorry.
Watch this. Left, left. Marty Mark. Watch the way I start up. I've been going hard, but I can go way harder. Every beat I'm on, yeah, you know that I slaughter.